Hit the subscribe button and the notification bell right now so you never miss an episode of Operation Truth. Send us an email, ask your questions, and very possibly we'll address your question on the air.
Operation Truth, the show they don't want you to see. Now, here's your host, Lou.
This is Lou Palumbo. This is Operation Truth. It's a very, very simple name for a podcast because that's our exercise. We're just going to tell you the truth, independent of politics and agenda and political lenses. We're just going to tell you kind of how it is, not to spoon feed you, but to give you food for thought. We encourage you to be your own fact finder. It'll help you immensely. With me today, and as always, is Tom Fuentes, former assistant director of the FBI, immense amount of knowledge, also an historian. We're going to comment a lot today on what's going on in our country and also what's going on with this assault carried out by Hamas in the country of Israel. First thing I'd like to just mention just very quickly is that we are consumed suddenly on our airwaves with everything about what's going on in Israel. As I mentioned to you every week, and I'm going to until you get the memo, we have a big problem at the border. Now they're expressing concerns about people who are of Lebanese and various backgrounds that are threats to our security coming across. Tom is going to speak a little bit more about that in a moment. But for now, we have a problem with this border. It's destroying in major cities. We're watching it in real time. The loudest voices in opposition to this border policy are Democrats. You know, I keep talking about this big lie. We live in America, and that's what's happening. We lie to you about the border, lie to you about the major cities, lie to you about the economy. This pullout from Afghanistan, which is another topic we're going to get into because it's being suggested and, in fact, documented that some of the weapons showing up in the hands of Hamas are from Afghanistan when we left approximately $85 billion worth of armament. Another discussion, guys. But I just want to start out and bring up the topic, this discussion regarding Israel and this invasion by Hamas. We'll talk about the Second Amendment, too, which you're going to find interesting. The first thing I'm trying to do is figure out how we can justify from the position of anyone in Palestine, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, the scope and scale of this invasion, which is what it was in the country of Israel. Someone please explain it to me. I know that they want to deny the beheadings of children and the just indiscriminate slaughter of its citizenry there. But how do you explain this invasion? Even if you were living in somewhat oppressive conditions as a result of things that Israel was doing, you know, they weren't being fair. Is this an appropriate response? Or is this just a continuance of an agenda held by many people in Islam? Not all, but most, I hate to say, that they want to annihilate Israel. They want to remove it from the face of the earth. And let me just say one other thing to you, and Tom and I are going to speak about this. That's their agenda considering in concern of Western civilization. They want to annihilate Western civilization also. Don't be fooled about it. In any case, we're hearing about tunnels. I have a question. Who built them? We're going to discuss that today a little bit. I do want to know, does anyone have any historical recall of when Israel ever indiscriminately, without cause, deployed a missile and or rocket towards another country or landmass like Gaza, the Gaza Strip? I have no recollection. Everything being done by Israel is being done defensively. Before I get on to Tom, I want to say one thing. If anyone doesn't understand what's going to happen here and what's going to be carried out by Netanyahu, boy, are you naive, because his intention is to basically annihilate everybody who stands in opposition of him at this point, starting with the Hamas. So, Tom, I just want to talk to you first of all about, you know, this thing about Israel invading this country and what's involved in going tunnel to tunnel or house to house, because I know you have some experience in that area. Am I correct, Tom?
Yes. Very difficult proposition, Lou, to go into this situation because you have the potential of hostages being held anywhere. They could be in private residences in Palestine. They could be in basements and tunnels, we don't know. And I don't know that the Israelis know, because if they didn't have sufficient intelligence in the first place through their services, Mossad, Shin Bet, with the assistance of US CIA and MI6 from England, if they didn't have the knowledge to prevent the attack in the first place, I can't imagine that they have enough intelligence to know where 199 hostages are being housed. So that'll remain to be seen what they do and how they find that out, or they just go indiscriminately house to house and search the basement, search everywhere within a house to try to find these people.
How dangerous is it, Tom?
Well, you just imagine you're going up to a house that's sitting there in a neighborhood, and you're going to knock on the door, maybe, or you're going to punch a hole in the wall, maybe. But whatever you do, there's going to be, if it is a Hamas household, stronghold, you're going to have terrorists on the other side of that door with their machine guns, their AK-47s pointed right at you as you try to enter that residence. Now, whether you go through the doorway or whether you punch a hole and crawl through the wall, whatever, you are at a complete disadvantage because they know you're there, they know you're coming, and they have the ability to completely ambush you in every building you go in.
Are you at liberty to speak of in regards to any of these little undertakings you participated in, Tom?
Not really.
Okay, we're going
to
leave it right there.
The other thing that the FBI is very, very good at, when you have incidents like this, whether it involves the FBI or whether it involves other countries' services, these are very closely studied by the FBI's tactical people to look at what was done, how it was it done correctly, and what can we learn from their event. So we're not just learning from personal experience where we'd still be living in caves. We're trying to learn from what happened to other countries, to their services when they went in. Now, I know it's been suggested, for instance, gassing the tunnels. Well, the Russians had Chechenian terrorists take over an opera house in Moscow, hold about 1,000 people hostage in there with 20 or 25 Chechenian terrorists holding them hostage. And they decided to, finally, all of the measures that they did to try to rescue them failed. So they injected gas into that opera house. Well, unfortunately, several hundred people died. Several, you know, choked to death or were allergic to it, whatever it might be. So those kind of propositions are very iffy. If you're going to introduce gas or foreign substances, toxic substances into a location to try to neutralize the terrorists, you'll neutralize everybody to some extent. But, you know, that was a lesson in what do you do when you have about 1,000 people held hostage in a huge opera house like that was. There have been other situations all over the world like that where terrorists took over, whether it was a train or a hotel or a building or a government facility. And we studied that. How did it end? What caused it to be successful or unsuccessful? And these are very intently studied. And right now I can tell you that the Israelis, in consultation with CIA and MI6 from England, are studying this very closely and just shaking their heads that it's really close to mission impossible.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Joseph M. Wanted with the Christitutionalist Politics. Tune in for the upcoming episode for May 4. Issue, Never the Issue, as well as guests Peter Serafin, Rosemary Downer, Don Gallade, Gista the Rapper, Cy Young, Jason Perry, and upcoming Jack Hagar, Andrew Thorpe King, Trent Rock, Ed Temple, Chris Morehouse, and more. Please tune in to Christitutionalist Politics. God bless.
I think you just summed it up right there, Tom. Mission impossible. By the way, I was one of the individuals that spoke about introducing either gas or a chemical agent that would render all of the occupants incapacitated and then, you know, purging forward. The reality of the situation, Tom, is that if they attempt to enter these tunnels or these dwellings, it's highly likely that they will either execute the hostages or they will become part of the collateral damage. That's just the simple, sad truth to this thing. I recommend the old gas routine because I think it is, and I'm not that astute as to the extent or the effectiveness of the gases today versus the gases used in Russia and Chechnya and the Opera House, which we were both familiar with. But that and the chemical agent that might have some type of spontaneous ability to overtake someone and prevent them from just summarily executing people. Either way, this is not going to have a happy ending. I think, as I mentioned earlier, before you came on, Tom, I think Netanyahu's agenda here is quite clear. He intends on annihilating everybody. And I do think that Israel is prepared to take whatever casualties there are. And that's really of dire strait. You know,
this is kind of the old strategy or philosophy that some services have cynically expressed in the past, and that is kill them all, let God sort them out.
And that's an interesting expression. I've heard that one myself before. You know, Tom, let me apologize to everyone because I'm sick. I have a pretty bad cold, so you're probably hearing it through my nasal passages, so I apologize. 29 Americans, I believe, were killed when Hamas invaded Israel. Suggested, conversation I had with Tom and some others, that, you know, it could be explanation, just collateral damage wasn't intentional. I'll give you that one. You know, maybe that's what it was. Wouldn't excuse you for it, to be candid with you. But what about these hostages that are being held? You see, at some point in time, this country's going to have to put on its big boy pants and figure out what it's going to do about what's going on in Israel right now and that region of the world. I suggested that we give them 24 hours to release our hostages, all of them, as a matter of fact, not just the Americans, or we're going to start to surgically strike you, which we have the ability to do. Now, suggested that, of course, they're in tunnels, so that makes it a little problematic potentially, but maybe what we need to do when Israel invades is find out as expeditiously as they can and as comprehensively as they can the points of ingress and egress for these tunnels and seal them off. They have to employ some tactic. Any way you look at this, there's going to be a loss of innocent human life. There already has been. So this is not something new in the discussion. And by the way, while we're talking about this, Hamas has little or no concern for its own people. Care to comment on that, Tom?
No, that's true, Lou. But the problem here is that we've already seen the Israelis bombing buildings and creating this enormous rubble pile where that building, a high-rise apartment or whatever it was, used to be. Now, how do they know the hostages aren't in the basement of that building or in one of the apartments of that building? Then, when the tactical units go to enter that and search that facility, they've got to go through all of that rubble and try to deal with that, which is also very difficult. So sometimes the tactic that you use, which might be effective in one sense, is going to hurt you in the other. So if you're bombing these buildings and creating a mountain of rubble in the street, now what do the soldiers do on the ground that have to go through that rubble to try to locate who's in the pile? And are they innocent citizens? Are they Hamas in this case? Or hostages? And how are they going to know the difference in many of those cases? So I think this is where the problem comes in. You know, when you say they have the ability to conduct a surgical strike, well, true, but on what? And how do they know what to strike?
I agree 100% with you, Tom. That's why I mentioned the problem, the fly in the ointment, is the fact that we're dealing with tunnels. You know, Tom, one of the things that really eludes me is what did Hamas think the response from Israel was going to be, understanding historically how they respond and their position that they're not really concerned about forming coalitions with our friends, Germany, England, Italy, France. They just do whatever is necessary to preserve their state, understandably so. But I'm just curious, what do you think Israel was going to do? Lie back? Now, you know what's interesting, Tom? It's being suggested just in conversation, how could there have been such a comprehensive intelligence failure here? Is that exactly what happened? I mean, is that what happened? Did we allow this to happen for another purpose? These are questions that should be asked and answered, perhaps not now, but in the future. The thing I'm concerned about at this point is our intervention. we're going to have to do something here, Tom. I know that we have two carrier groups off the coast right now, the Eisenhower and the Gerald Ford. I guess that's a show of force. I don't understand this whole concept of show of force. Don't show up unless you mean business.
Carriers are pretty much worthless, because what are they going to do except be sitting ducks if Hamas wants to launch rockets at them? Or if Iran, we don't know, if a country uses a hypersonic missile or something against them, they're dead. They're sitting ducks. They can't be protected with 5,000 sailors on each of those carriers. So that's a problem. Now, yeah, the carriers are in a position. They can launch cruise missiles. They can launch their aircraft and do surgically guided missiles into various buildings in Gaza. But how do they know which building? How do they have any more information guiding those carriers than what the Israelis have in the first place? And I think that's the problem I see with this whole thing is they want to strike. They want to do something. They want to get back at them for doing all this and don't know how to really do it that protects the hostages or innocent people that are separate from the hostages. The other thing is, you mentioned, what did Hamas think was going to happen? That's the strategy. Almost every major terrorism 101 says the terrorist intent is to provoke a response that's the retaliatory response is greater than what the original terrorist act is. So they hope that Israel will overreact, and they hope that they wipe out innocent citizens in Gaza, destroy buildings, have that kind of appearance for the worldwide press to look at. And I think that's their intent. That's what they're getting what they want in that sense. On the other hand, how do you do nothing? Do you ignore it and say, well, it's a shame we lost these people. It's a shame we have hostages. So, yes, the governments, their government and ours, want to do something, desperately want to do something. The question is, and I'm sure they're debating in these meetings, and I've been in these type of meetings, they're very difficult when nobody has the right answer. Every answer is wrong. Some are more wrong than others, and that's the problem here.
I think we've got a lot of answers, Tom, that are not going to, I'm going to say in long term, be favorable to this, but I agree with you. And so people have to be clear about something. I don't think Hamas is that concerned about Palestinians as well.
The change from currency systems to fully digital cashless societies has intensified fear around the world. In mid-September, Wells Fargo and Truist Banks planned major layoffs as an impending 2024 recession has been predicted by many economists. Many analysts are predicting silver will hit an all-time high in 2024. That's why you need to own silver as a hedge. Green energy demand will possibly turbocharge silver prices to $50, $100, even $300 an ounce, according to many experts around the world. Silver is a proven hedge against inflation. Since 1971, silver has returned over 11% when averaged yearly. Hard Asset Management is a trusted leader in precious metals and rare coins for nearly 40 years. We have the guaranteed lowest prices, fast and easy ordering, expedited shipping, with award-winning customer service available 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. CST, Monday through Friday. So protect yourself from the chaos. Invest in stability with Hard Asset Management. Call now and get your free Hard Asset Management information kit on how easy it is for you to own silver. 844-426-4653. Free delivery and extra silver with every $10,000 bought. Use promo code 007.
What I am finding interesting is the conversation has shifted from the heinous extent of this invasion to Israel's response. And so we're clear, and I'll say one more time, what you're about to witness is going to be, I'm going to say, record-breaking by Israel. But suddenly, we're concerned about the level and the extent in which Israel is going to respond. We're watching pushback already in our country. And in fact, globally, there's an enormous amount of anti-Semitism globally, which, guys, I have to be honest, I don't understand what the hell it's rooted in. I don't know what Jewish people did to you that you seem to think you're justified in killing them or eliminating their civilization or their religion or whatever it is you're hell-bent on eliminating. And I remind everyone, as we said earlier, that's an agenda that's focused towards Western civilization as well. But this is not going to have a happy ending on many levels. And Tom, I want to take you into another discussion now about the northern border of Israel, where apparently, if I understand this is correct, please correct me as well, Tom, that troops are amassing on the Lebanese border. Is that correct, Tom? And yeah. I have to be candid with you. If I were the United States, you know, this is going to be about crossing lines. Lines are going to be crossed. And each time we cross a line, it's going to clearly represent some form of escalation. What's the line that's crossed for the government to get in, our government to get involved in? In other words, if they suddenly start to experience the northern border being purged, right? Is that when the United States steps in and starts laying down cover from aircraft to turn back these Lebanese troops? Or, I mean, I think the master plan here, guys, is for Israel to be invaded. That's my opinion. I think that's the long-term strategy on this thing. What do you think, Tom?
I think that, you know, probably is part of the Hamas strategy and possibly Hezbollah strategy in the north of Israel, is to get Israel to overreact, or in at least the appearances worldwide that they're overreacting to the situation, then cause Iran to get more directly involved and launch, give the green light to Hezbollah to attack and just keep escalating this. Now, what I think, you know, what they're probably hoping for is that the several million people that have crossed into the United States, like it's a walk in the park, how many of those may be not just sympathetic, but actually Hamas members that have come in the last 3 years, courtesy of Joe Biden. And now, if you end up with an attack, what'll get the U.S. involved is what got us involved in Afghanistan in 2001. It'll be attack a U.S. city and kill Americans directly on purpose and claim credit for it and say, look what we did. And then what'll be the answer? Who we retaliate against then? Do we evade Hezbollah or invade Lebanon to kill Hezbollah there, or Gaza to go after Hamas there? What do we do? But you know, it'll be a reaction like happened in the fall of 2001 following September 11. The U.S. said, that's it. We're declaring war. And that's when we invaded Afghanistan and occupied that country for the next 20 years. So I think that this is what Hamas is hoping, that the U.S. or Israel or combination would overreact, and then they would get sympathy from Iran to launch Hezbollah in addition to Hamas and expand the attacks first in Israel or maybe even simultaneously in the United States. Now, you had mentioned on earlier podcasts that the FBI director, Christopher Wray, several months ago testified that the open southern border is a threat to national security. Well, how does that manifest itself? It does so when bad guys cross that border, and then they have no problem getting a hold of whatever weaponry they need, and they attack anywhere they choose in the United States. That could be coming. It could be in the works right now.
It's a concern of the FBI, Tom. They've come out today and articulated the fact that we might be experiencing Hamas-style attacks in the United States. And guys, you know, this is an interesting conversation that now branches off just momentarily, because I want to go back to demonstrations of people in support of Palestine and Hamas. This whole issue of the Second Amendment, for example, if I understand this correctly, and I brought this up in conversation prior with Tom and some of our other colleagues, this is a firsthand lesson as to why your populace needs to be armed, tragically. So everybody's clear. I have an extreme knowledge of weapons, small arms. It would probably alarm you to understand what I understand about them, because they're tools of my trade, not because I like them. I don't like violence. I don't believe in violence. Part of that's attached to the fact that growing up as a young boy in New York, I fought a lot. I understand what violence is about. Tom and I both occupationally understand what violence is about, and I abhor violence, but I do realize we're not getting away from it. I'm understanding that they're arming the Israeli populace the same way we have armed the Ukrainian populace. And it's being suggested here that we want to disarm the American populace. We don't want you to have guns. Guys, pay attention to what's going on your planet and look at the hypocrisy right in the eyes. Tragically, there's a need for people almost in every country to be armed. Our founding fathers were concerned about tyranny, not just foreign invaders and their tyranny, our government's tyranny, which I have to say, we're right on the cusp some days to where it's staring you right in the face and you're not seeing it, maybe because you don't want to. And I'm not talking about uprising against the government. Our tool here is to vote. But this country needs to be armed. And we're talking about why right now. Now, listen to me, guys. Don't go out and think you're going to set the record straight and take on anybody that's anti-Israel or anti-American. That's not really what Tom and I would ever suggest, or anybody has a brain in their head. If you have a firearm, please receive the appropriate training and read the law as to when you may use it. And limit your response to protecting your family. Let the professionals do this for a living. But with that being said, this whole discussion about the Second Amendment gets funnier and funnier every day. First, it's never going to happen, greatly due to the fact that we have so many weapons in this country, we can't even account for them. That's all I'm going to say to you. And I've given you guys explanation as to why in prior podcasts. But the notion that we disarm, or they're concerned about you having an assault rifle, guys, we're probably flooding them right now into Israel so we can arm their people, so they can stand and protect themselves, their own families. We're watching interviews conducted on a daily basis of victims of this Hamas invasion that are they're just sitting there helpless. And believe me, tragically, the firearm is the answer. It's the response. It's a pretty sad state of affairs and quite a negative critique of mankind that we're so hell-bent on destroying each other. But that's just the world that you live in. Tom, I'm curious to know what you think about this whole. What's going on with Israel right now in arming its populace, Tom? Because I know you have some insight into this.
Actually, I don't know exactly to what extent they're trying to arm their population. But what we saw in the attack by Hamas was that they went into house after house after house where families were residing during the early morning hours when they did the attack, and killed everybody in the house. Grandmother, parents, children, babies, didn't matter to them. And you didn't have anybody in that house with a weapon to even remotely be able to defend themselves. Now, in the United States, we take it another step and say, and you know what? You don't really need police either. We're going to defund them. You're on your own. We don't want you to have a gun, and we don't want police officers with guns responding to help you in the event you come into danger. Now, in Israel, their Ministry of Defense, Israeli Defense Force, IDF, is supposed to be among the best in the world. And Netanyahu had guaranteed his people that that border is secure. They are protected. They have all of the technology, cameras, microphones, you name it, plus soldiers at every checkpoint to protect that border. And somehow that border was completely and easily breached to where the attackers could go into Israel, into those neighborhoods, or to the music festival and just start mowing down innocent people. And I think that, you know, everybody is wondering, how could this remotely happen? They were supposed to have, Israel was supposed to have the best two defense or intelligence agencies in the world, Mossad and Shin Bet. They're supposed to have a highly effective military that's won all these wars since Israel was formed in 1948. They've had all of this success, and then that day, nothing. What happens? How'd that happen?
That's a good question, Tom. And that's one that has to be asked, answered. And I think in time it will be. You know, I think right now it's the immediacy of response. You know, I do want to say one thing in regards to the preservation of Israel. I think the United States is highly likely going to have to get involved in this in some military form, so Israel is not overrun or overwhelmed, because I do think that's a possibility. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I think there's, you know, there are a lot of questions here, and the U.S. Is heavily involved. You know, the state of Israel exists because right after World War II, the survivors of the Holocaust, the Jews in Europe, were looking for a homeland. And the ships set sail, if you've seen the movie Exodus, they tried to come to the United States. We wouldn't take them. Canada, the UK, every country would not take them. The answer that they came up with was, well, take some of the land in Israel and give it to, I mean, in the home, Middle East, and give it to Israel, you know, what is now Israel. And, you know, that was basically because nobody else wanted the Jewish refugees. Now we're kind of seeing where the Palestinians, you know, normally with Israel on the verge of attacking Gaza, you would think they would let the Palestinians get out, the good ones, you know, save themselves. Egypt won't take them. You don't hear a single other Arab country in the Middle East saying, we'll take them. let them come here. Now, at least European countries, you know, for practically a decade, took in Syrians, took in all kinds of refugees until it messed up the security of their own countries, whether it's the no-go zones in Stockholm or the attacks that have happened in France and Germany and other countries that took in too many Syrian refugees that instead of trying to assimilate to be part of Western Europe, they wanted those countries to assimilate to them, adopt Sharia law, and do other things to support them. So I think that, you know, this is a huge problem for us right now. You know, we have been complicit in the fact that all of the Jews leaving Europe in the late 1940s after World War II end up, a good number of them are allowed to end up in what is now Israel. And of course, the Arab states that lost land, or the Arab people that had land taken away from them to accommodate the nation of Israel, you know, that's why they've had these off and on wars now since the 40s.
You know, Tommy, I want to talk real quick about this. I wouldn't call it a phenomenon, but this practice of demonstrating in this country every time somebody's underwear is in a bunch about something going on in another part of the world. That day of outrage, a day of rage that was declared by Hamas and the Palestinians, there were over 3,000 of them disrupting the city of New York, my home, causing the taxpayers to pay for police on overtime, obstructing and blocking traffic at times which could be used as arteries for people with medical emergencies or police response. I want to say this appropriately. Excuse me. If you're so attached to Palestine and you feel they're being so wronged, why don't you go back there and fight for Palestine instead of disrupting the United States? Excuse me, guys. I have that same sentiment towards parades. Puerto Rican Day Parade, St. Patrick's Day Parade, Columbus, West Indian Day Parade. Pick the parade. You disrupt our cities. Sometimes these parades result in violence and people getting hurt and killed. If you're so thrilled with Ireland, go back to Ireland. If you're so thrilled with Italy, go back to Italy. I don't know why they continue to allow these people to mass and demonstrate, disrupt our home. We have most American people don't even know where Palestine is, probably, to be very candid with you, especially our young people, which is another discussion we won't get into as to why they don't know. But if you're that strong in sentiment, go back to Palestine. I don't know what to say to you. You know, I watched this mess of people trying to explain how this egregious act carried out by Hamas had some justification attached to it. We have completely had the cuckoo leave the clock once again. And while we're on the topic, look at some of your universities across the country, starting with Harvard. Why are you sticking your nose into something? It's highly likely you do not understand the complexity of this issue. Once again, I just want to mention this to you. As you're supporting this agenda of Palestine or Islam, which is really where the standoff is, it's about Islam and Judaism, right? Islam and Christianity. Please be reminded as to how Islam treats its women. You hypocrites. You know, I'd like to say this, how full of shit you are. Probably going to get edited. Thank you. But that's exactly what this comes down to. And I got to tell you, we were talking earlier about, I guess, some gay faction was in support of Palestine, Tom. What was that about?
I have no idea why they would be. You know,
They were out. I mean, this is hilarious.
Well, I think just, you know, to be blunt, they're morons. They don't know history. They don't know the facts. They don't know that Islam absolutely, you know, throws. They talk about transgender and the LGBTQ people and all of that. Islam throw them off the roofs of buildings. That's how sympathetic they are to transgender or gay or any of these other issues. So I think that people, you know, that conflate that just don't understand, and they don't realize how stupid they are.
I think that's kind of an across-the-board assessment. And I just want to say one thing to you, Tom, because I'm very fond of you. Don't insult morons, okay? If you can avoid that today, I would appreciate it. Let's not insult any morons, because this is like two steps beyond moronic. This is on the cusp of insanity and stupidity. But, you know, again, the voice has to come from the leadership, of which is lacking in this country. To be very candid with you, I don't envy Joe Biden right now, because this is a hell of a situation we have going on in the Middle East that I know is going to translate to our country based on the number of people that are in this country that, in my opinion, don't belong. And for only one reason, guys. You didn't come here to become part of our civilization or our culture. You came here to change our culture into yours, which begs the question, if you think it's so wonderful where you came from, why don't you go back, or why didn't you just stay there? Why don't you try to assimilate, which lends itself to you abandoning some of these cultural backgrounds? It's just common sense. We're not saying you're not welcome here. You're not welcome here to come here and carry on like you do in your own country, whether it's South America, whether it's the continent of Europe, or the Middle East. If you don't want to become part of this great conversation, go back home. This isn't personal, and it applies to everyone. I'm not singling anybody out. Anybody that hasn't gotten the memo that you need to assimilate and adopt certain cultural aspects of this country and Western civilization, you don't belong here. I want to mention something else that I brought up. I wonder if the founding fathers ever realized that some rocket scientist would decide that we were going to allow everybody on the planet to come into this country and everybody was going to be happy when you did this. Cultural, ethnic, religious, lifestyle, we got it all here. How do you expect to keep anybody happy or pleasant? And by the way, they're adversarial in their region of the world, for example, the Middle East. We have Judaism and Islam in conflict. Let's let them both into our country to disrupt our country. What the hell is going on here? I mean, who is leading this country at this point? And that's not a rhetorical question. I'm really concerned about it. Where's the voice of calm and reason? Where's the voice of sanity here? My attitude is really simple, and don't take this the wrong way. I'd like to deport you. Go back to wherever you think is better than here. Because all I hear is you coming here and criticizing us here, coming here and disrupting us here if we don't carry out a policy that you think is appropriate that applies to another region of the world. Am I wrong, Tom?
No, it's absolutely right. You know, you see some of these neighborhoods where they're demanding Sharia law, for example, rather than our legal system that, you know, Western jurisprudence now going back several hundred years. So, yeah, you know, you're right. Exactly. Why should they come in here and take our country apart? Stay where you're at. If you came here and you don't like it, go back.
Tom, am I correct in making the following statement? The agenda of Islam is to destroy Western civilization. All you, I hate to say this, morons, because Tom, I don't want to give morons a bad name.
Yeah, don't do that, Lou.
I know. To see, but you did this to me today. You trapped me. I know what this was, entrapment. You guys
contagious.
Are good at that.
Contagious.
Exactly. Exactly. Contagious. Now you broke my train of thought also. But the bottom line is, guys, if you don't want to get in sync with our country, regardless of where you're from, please go home, because nothing good is going to come from this. Trust me when I tell you. You know, I know the American public is heavily distracted, but I want to say something else to you. And this is not to make you fearful or alarm you. We are heavily armed here also. And I guarantee you, at the end of the day, if you keep poking this bear, the response you get, especially from the southern United States, which loves this country, they're dripping in patriotism down in Florida and Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas, Oklahoma, right across this country, and good parts of this country in its northern quadrant, Wyoming, Oklahoma's not in the northern quadrant, stand corrected, Montana, the Dakotas. These are states that are dripping in people that love this country. And I'm going to say to you, I guess as long as you stay in the city of New York and continue to destroy this city between the immigration policy, and now we have demonstrations about who's angry with Israel because you think they overreacted, maybe you should empathize and put yourself in their position, see how you would react if someone came into your home and destroyed every living being that lived there with you. This is absolutely ridiculous, these conversations we're having. And why this country doesn't have the balls to speak to this is beyond me. Am I getting censored again on that one? Probably. I'm sorry. I take that word back. But you guys understand what I'm saying, and I'm just telling you the truth. This is your country. I compel you to get involved in the conversation. By the way, this is Operation Truth. You can reach us at Operation Truth. Oh God, this is shameful. This is the official. Thank you. Operation Truth official at gmail.com. This is the cold, guys, and the cold medicine, so I apologize. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to continue this conversation with Tom. And this border issue has really come and bitten us in the backside. This Operation Truth, we'll be right back, guys.
Rare coin prices have exploded in the last 3 years. Hard Asset Management, one of the world's largest precious metals and rare coin dealer firms, makes recommendations on what to buy for collectors who know what they're looking for. We maintain one of the world's largest rare coin inventories for individuals seeking to diversify precious metals and rare coins. We can make strong recommendations in areas that we feel have the strongest potential for long-term growth. Call today, 844-426-4653, to receive our free rare coin newsletter or register online at bmcham.com. Free delivery and extra silver with every $10,000 bought. Use promo code 007.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. With me, as always, my co-host, Tom Fuentes. You probably heard us speaking quite extensively about what's going on in the Middle East. And as always, our foreign policy, which is really going to come back to bite us in the butt. I want to bring up something, Tom, that now has come to the forefront as to a potential scenario here. And it deals with individuals from Hamas being in possession of weapons that are associated with our country that it's being suggested came from Afghanistan. You know, those little, I guess it was $85 billion in weaponry we left there at Bagram when we abandoned Bagram. What are you hearing on this, Tom?
Well, it's obvious that, you know, all of that material was left behind by the Biden administration. And it did include, you know, besides aircraft and larger weaponry, artillery, but it also includes small arms fire, whether it was RPGs or handheld missile launchers, like Javelin missiles, that type of stuff. And that some Israeli officers now are reporting that that's showing up in Gaza. Some of those weapons are showing up there. Now, the problem is our government has been so lax in the handling of weapons, whether it was the material left behind in Afghanistan or the tons of material we've sent to Ukraine, which Ukrainian officials have sold off with their level of corruption, that's showing up all over, like cartel members walking around northern Mexico with U.S. Javelin missile launchers, you know, that type of thing. So we have just, you know, it's bad enough. We claim we don't have enough weaponry and artillery shells to supply our own military. But apparently we have no problem supplying everybody else, terror groups, you name it, by just the stuff we've left behind, making the Taliban rich with selling off our weapons. And then, of course, Ukrainian generals and senior officials in the Ukraine selling off our weapons on the black market, which are now showing up all over Africa, Mexico, the Middle East. So that's some of the policies of this administration in almost every area you look at have proven to be so dangerous to the United States that it's ridiculous. And nobody seems to call them on it. They could take all the bribes they want. They can do all of this negative activity and no repercussions, no accountability.
You know, Tom, what's really interesting also, because there's a couple more topics I want to speak to. And I do want to remind the public, we're on Wednesday, the 18th at about 8 p.m. At 8 p.m., let me say it that way, Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're doing a live space X. It's going to be on Twitter. It's at Operation Truth 7 on X. If you want to join in the conversation, we heavily, heavily encourage you to do so. You know, Tom, not to get into this whole political discussion, which is just bizarre in this country today, I'm wondering when the people of the Jewish community are going to start to come to terms with the fact that there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party. You know, aside from Tlaib, Omar, Jayapal, just try to tag on, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on right now with this whole Democrat agenda. Look at the individuals that are out in support of Palestine. This is the left. These are not Republicans. These are not conservatives. And I'm not saying that to you because I'm trying to swing you in the direction of voting for Republicans. Vote for whomever you think is going to promote the agenda in regards to the future of your children. I want to say it to you that way. I am absolutely confused as to how anyone who is of the Jewish belief can support Democrats. Just connect the dots on what we're living today, guys. I don't know what to say. I will say this to his credit, and every now and then this guy does get on the ball. Eric Adams is spoken out vehemently against what's going on in regards to these demonstrations that are anti-Israel, how egregious this is. And I'm also suspect that this guy's looking at the White House because I guess he was bolstering his foreign policy when he visited Mexico last week. But I hate to say I'm suspect of everything these days. Guys, and I just want to remind you again, please become part of the conversation. We're doing a live space on X, which is formerly known as Twitter, on Wednesday, the 18th of October at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's an hour earlier, Central Standard Time. Of course, 3 hours early, it'd be 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. You'll be able to connect with us, ask some questions, become part of this conversation. Guys, the reason we're doing this podcast is because we are up to our ass in alligators in this country right now. And if we don't course correct, you're not going to have a country. I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to be gloom and doom or scare anybody. I'm telling you the truth. I've had an interesting journey, and the handwriting is on the wall here. I am, as Tom states, gravely concerned about the leadership of our country. We don't seem to be doing anything right. And we were joking earlier about, you know, the compiling a list of things we should do wrong and then making sure every day we do that. You know, the real part of the problem today is we just boldface lie to you about everything that's going on in this country. I want to hear what they're going to say about what this level of intervention or support is going to be for Israel, because I know I've listened to the rhetoric at this point. Maybe we should be flying some planes over the northern border of Israel around Lebanon, right, Tom? Is that where they amass the Hezbollah? Just to give them a little wake-up call as to how quick this is going to end for you. I don't know what to say. And I know there's political sensitivities, and it's not as simple as just talking about it on air. It's far more convoluted, primarily because of the nature of engagement with Iran and monies we gave. Tom, care to comment on that, by the way, Tom, this whole issue with money in Iran?
Yeah, we've been giving them money now for, you know, whether it was the Obama administration or now the Biden administration, you know, whether we pay them for hostages or whether, you know, we come up with some other excuse, you know, with their nuclear weaponry program. We've made Iran very wealthy, which enables them to spread that money toward support of terrorism by their, you know, groups that work for them, Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and that continues. And we make it easier for them to continue with their program as well as their nuclear program. Just imagine when Iran gets nuclear weapons, you're not going to see a couple of, you know, renegades parasail over the fence in Israel. That if those guys get nuclear weapons, there's going to be serious damage somewhere.
You know, Tom, one of the terms I used earlier today in the podcast was escalation. And I guarantee you this, that if Iran insinuates themselves into this discussion, Israel is going to attack Iran. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I would say further that the minute that Israel gets the green light that they're on the cusp of developing a nuclear device and potentially a delivery system, which I believe they already have a delivery system, especially because of the proximity Israel is of Iran, they're gonna go after Iran. You know, and I'm going to say this, the viability of Israel going forward is heavily predicated on the support from this country. I think that's a safe statement to make, Tom. Would you agree?
Well, I would, except how much support are we giving them? You know, we've got Blinken making all those trips over there, our Secretary of State, basically kind of giving them a, you know, subliminal warning to not be too strong in your attack in Gaza. Be careful, be proportional, be, you know, so will we really support them at the end of the day? I don't know, and I don't think they know, and I don't think they believe it. Yeah, we put a couple of warships, aircraft carrier groups in the Mediterranean or in the Persian Gulf. Wow, that's great. We're showing all this strength. But the strength that they need or the backing that they're going to need, I don't know if it's going to be there when there's thousands of innocent casualties being shown on international television, wherever it might be, Iran or in Gaza.
I just think at some point, unfortunately, a line will be crossed and our government's going to have no choice but to intercede on some level militaristically. That's just the reality of it. And if that isn't your intent, then you shouldn't be putting these aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean, because that's just disingenuous. And that's part of this whole concept of paper tiger. That's something that's critically important that we're not perceived to be. I'd be doing some flyovers over the northern border of Israel, just kind of as a suggestion, ladies and gentlemen, might work as a deterrent. I don't know if they're capable of thinking outside the box, but I can tell you right now, as I understand it, based on what's being reported, there are troops amassing on the northern border. Tom, is that an accurate statement?
Well, they might be worried that Iran has already supplied sufficient surface-to-air missiles to Hezbollah or even Hamas, that if we start flying over that, they're going to shoot them down. So that's the worry, is that if we're worried that a U.S. military aircraft is going to get shot out of the sky in Israel, I think that's a pretty strong deterrent that they're afraid of. They don't want that to happen, because now they have to. There's no choice. That would be an act of war that we would respond and declare war on Hezbollah or Iran or Lebanon or whoever, and everybody, you know, and above, that we're going to want to go after.
You know, I'm concerned that the inevitability of what's going to happen here is going to be extreme. And when it starts, guys, it's going to resonate. You know, what's also going to happen is all these relationships that we've established with certain Middle Eastern countries like Qatar or Qatar, however you pronounce it, that's being taxed right now. Saudi Arabia, that's being taxed. Islam is going to stick with Islam, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's the unfortunate part of this discussion. And that's why this is so dangerous. You know, what's so interesting is you don't hear much conversation about China or Russia's involvement in this, even in the backdrop. Maybe I've got that wrong, Tom?
Well, no, we haven't heard much about it. Now, is that the fault of our media, or are they laying low and being very quiet about this whole situation? You know, Israel has somewhat, I guess, made Putin unhappy because of what they've been doing in Ukraine to help Ukraine. And some of the weapons that were going to Israel were being sent to Ukraine. Now they're not going to go to the Ukraine. They're going to go to Israel. So I think that, you know, to what extent Russia backs Israel or doesn't back them in this sense, you know, that, I think that remains to be seen where they're going to come down on this.
Guys, we're going to have to wrap this up today. The thing I want to say in conclusion, and I think Tom will agree with this and he'll have a chance to comment. You know, we are continuously taxing our resources regardless of purpose. It's either the Ukraine, or it's illegal immigration, or it's our cities with businesses leaving in mass numbers. I mean, I don't want to go back on this thing with Gavin Newsom talking about corporations come to California to flourish. I don't know what planet he's looking at or living on, I should say, but 21 business entities have left San Francisco, the city where you were the mayor. We're in a lot of trouble, guys, and we're going to continue to have this conversation and try to bring some truth to the discussion and some sensibility and even some solutions, because a lot of what's going on domestically, at least, we have solutions for. Your border. What I think inadvertently is going to have to happen there is we're going to have to shut that border in totality, which good people are going to suffer, people that need to have access to this country. We need to get a handle on this border, guys. If you're not connecting this dot, I don't know what to say to you. If you're so married to the political entity that's promoted this policy at the border, just know this, your children will reap what you have sown. Not you. Your children will reap what you have sown. Unless you're in your 40s, then you're going to reap it, because likelihood is you got another 50 years of this lunacy. This has been Operation Truth. I encourage you to become part of the conversation. Operation Truth Patriot. Official. Let me say that again. I'd like you to contact us at OperationTruthOfficial@gmail.com. And I remind everyone, we have a live space on X, which is formerly known as Twitter, 8 p.m. on Wednesday, October 18th. That's Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This has been Operation Truth. Tom, I thank you as always for being a party to this discussion. Your insight and your experiences are quite telling. When we come back, we're going to have some more conversations about what's going on here in the Middle East, but we're going to go back and talk about some more domestic occurrences that are happening that are suddenly being put on the back burner because of this obsession with covering what's going on in Israel. Thank you guys for joining us, and we're going to be back to you shortly.